welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Welcome to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name is Tom Bump and I'm your host. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode today. Super honored that you would take the time to listen to this podcast, and I know you are not going to be sorry. You're going to be blessed and challenged beyond belief. Trust me, because I've had a previous conversation with my guest and had goosebumps over the phone. So I had goosebumps on my goosebumps, and I'm a bump, so I know what bumps are like. So I got this. So you're not going to want to miss this. You're going to want to listen to the whole episode all the way through on this one, and you're going to want to share this one for sure. But before we dive in, hey, I want to say thank you to our podcast sponsor, the Sunday School Store. We want to thank them so much for their sponsorship, because the Sunday School Store knows that in 2020, we've all been reminded that ministry time is precious, and that's why their powerful children's ministry curriculum skips the gimmicks and goes straight to the gospel. And you can make an eternal difference even when ministry opportunities are limited. So as a KMC listener, you can use a discount code KMC25 and save an extra 25% on every purchase. So check out the link in the show notes or just Google the Sunday School Store, and don't forget to use KMC25. So thank you, Sunday School Store, for your support. We appreciate it very much. It keeps us going and producing podcast episodes as we go. So today we've titled this episode Amazing God, an Amazing Story, because my guest has both. She knows an amazing God and she has an amazing story. Chris Gorman is a pastor's wife, a speaker. She's a recovering theater major. I love that in her bio, because I loved high school theater. That's as far as I went, but it was fun. But she was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 36, and being an athlete and an Enneagram 3, she continued to compete in triathlons even through her treatments. And she's been called by God to go and to take this season of suffering and use it for God's glory. And so she encourages people not to give up and instead discover that God can bring some amazing things through their crisis, and the purpose can emerge from their pain. And so it's a real honor to welcome her to the KMC podcast. So Chris, welcome to the KMC.
Thank you so much. I am super excited and super honored to be here. That was quite an intro. I hope I can live up to the hype here.
Oh, yes. I know you're gonna. But I mentioned just a little bit, but tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do, because you have a big ministry, not just speaking, but also with a great ministry organization that we're going to do another podcast about, too.
Absolutely. So, I have a degree in theater, stage management to be specific, as you mentioned. And really, that's really just kind of like a professional bosser arounder. I'm just really good at telling people what to do. And so I didn't really grow up. We went to church. I believed in God. I prayed, but never really had a relationship. Went and got my degree. I was going to go do the New York thing. And after I graduated, I ended up finding myself at Fellowship Church here in Grapevine, Texas. And God got hold of me and just really opened my eyes to what a relationship with Him looks like, and kind of turned my life in a whole new direction. And shortly after that, I found myself on staff at Fellowship Church. I was the production manager and the set designer there. So who knew that God could take these two things that I'm so passionate about and just write this new sort of path for my life? So that's where I met my husband, Matt. And he was in children's ministry, and we sort of joined forces, and we've been doing children's ministry ever since. And I ended up, after being on staff at Fellowship, I ended up with an amazing nonprofit ministry, as you mentioned, called One Hope. They are located in Fort Lauderdale. And their mission is God's word, every child. And they mean that literally. They want every child in the world to have a chance to hear God's message by 2030. So that's we awesome. Have just a few more years to get there. And so that's what we do. My husband was recently called to step away from ministry in the church sense, and he joined forces with me over at One Hope. And when COVID hit, we had this amazing opportunity to partner with the YouVersion Bible app. And you might be familiar with the Bible app for kids. It's kind of for preschoolers, 6-7 year olds. There's also the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app that's for adults, but there's nothing in between for elementary kids.
Right.
And so our whole job is to create content for the YouVersion Bible app for elementary kids, so they have something digital that they can engage with God's word as well. So it's a whole lot of stuff packed into a quick little bio, but that's the journey that God's taken us on, and that's what we do.
Yeah, and I can't wait to talk more about that. So stay tuned, guys, for another episode where we're going to dig into the Bible app and what Chris and Matt and the team there at One Hope are doing. But I encourage you to go check it out and start using it, at least for the younger kids. Get that out there to your families. Let them know that that's available. And I'll do my best to get a link for that in the show notes as well so that people can find it if you're not aware of it, because it's something that, man, we definitely need to get God's word out there. So I would encourage you to check that out, but stay tuned because we will be having that coming up in a few episodes real soon. So I always try to start our podcast, Chris, with a why style question. One of my mentors has always encouraged me to always ask the why. So I always like to start off the show with one of those kind of questions. And so I would love to know why are you being led now to share your story? Because some people, you know, this is a private journey and they don't want to share their story out loud. So I'm just curious, what led you, what's your why behind sharing your story?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I was diagnosed with breast cancer very young at 36. And I think one of the things that I found to be a trend during this whole journey was just the amount of scary stories that people would share with me, often unsolicited. And I think about, you know, what are the top things in life that people are afraid of, you know, and cancer is probably one of those things. You know, you're afraid of losing your loved ones. You're afraid of being sick. I mean, there's just kind of, losing a child. There's like those big things in life that we just pray, like, God, please, not me, not my family, you know, and cancer is just one of those things. And as I found myself on this journey, it kind of didn't matter who it was. They could be a believer or not. They could be a survivor or not. But as soon as I, you know, started to share that I had cancer, the response was always something pretty negative. Whether it was, you know, oh, my grandmother had cancer and she beat it and then it came back and she died, but it probably won't happen to you. You know, well, okay, gosh. Great. You know, and so I had all these sort of scary stories. And what I began to realize is that Satan has a hold on this area of suffering called cancer. And I believe that there is territory that we can take back from the kingdom of God here. Amen. And so when it comes specifically to people who are battling cancer, my heart just goes out to them, because the truth is, yes, cancer is scary. You know, there's no doubt about that. But what I didn't know is that maybe it doesn't have to be as scary as we think it is. Because I was okay. I went through chemo and radiation and all the things, and nobody said, hey, you might just be okay. You might not even throw up one single time. Nobody ever told me that. That was never even a possibility in my head. You know, instead, I just heard all these scary side effects and scary stories and scary statistics. And And it was just really difficult to try and keep myself in this positive frame of mind to manage this trial when that was what was coming in all the time. And so when I think about that, you know, that side of cancer, I really want people to know that there's a different way you can fight cancer. Mm. But the truth is, suffering is a universal language. And just because the circumstances for me were cancer, you know, suffering's suffering. And we all deal with different circumstances, but we can all sort of band together and support each other in similar ways to help each other get through those times. And so God really just shared some truths on my heart during this season that really changed the way that I view the sufferings and the trials in my life. And I feel like they can help anyone, whether it's cancer or anything else. And so I just feel so called that God can create purpose out of your pain and out of your suffering. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, but if you continue to believe that, you know, Genesis 50:20 that says what was intended for harm, God can use for good. Yes. Those are the things that can help us through those times. And I want my story to encourage other people to be able to do the same thing with their trials. Yeah.
And have you found, I mean, because you know, you're in the ministry world, you're in Kidmin, you're one of us. There's a lot of parallels. I mean, in when you're in leadership, and I'm not trying to put cancer on the level of ministry stuff. You know, I don't want to minimize. I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to minimize. But I think you'll get where I'm going with this. Is that sometimes we see stuff happen and we go negative. Mm-hmm. We assume, you know, we start hearing the horror stories. I've seen this done when a new person comes into ministry. And a lot of the us more seasoned, because I don't want to say old, more seasoned veterans of kids ministry will all of a sudden start telling our war stories. And I don't know why we tend to do that, but I've always told people too that, you know, be careful when you're talking to younger leaders as they're coming in. Yes, speak the truth in love. Yes, help them have their eyes wide open, because nobody warned me of some of these kind of things. Yeah. But the whole thing is that, you know, God doesn't waste my pain, the hard stuff that I've walked through. He hasn't wasted that on anything. And now I'm using what I've gone through that have been hard and terrible to help other leaders. I can see why you would do what you do, but I'm just curious, what are your thoughts? This is off script a little bit, so just so everybody knows, I'm throwing something at her.
I can roll with it.
That's good. I know you can, but it's that whole idea. Why do you think we go there? And maybe what's something you did right off the bat to counteract that? I mean, we're going to talk later on about some of the things, the perspectives and stuff, but, so I don't want to go too far into it, but just why do you feel like we go negative, and what's something that could maybe flip the script for a leader so that we don't have to go that way?
Yeah. So I think we do this, it doesn't really matter what the thing is. We kind of do this with everything in life. Like if you think about when you first are pregnant, like what happens? People come out of the woodwork to tell you their like nightmare. So
they're like, 300 hour labor.
Like that is not helpful information. I don't need to know that. Or, you know, in really any stage of life, you know, you've got a toddler and you're like, oh man, I'm so tired. And you know, this is happening. And what do people do? Oh, just wait until they're 5. Oh, just wait until they're 13. Yep. You know, I mean, we just do that. And I think on one hand, when it comes to, at least with my experience with cancer, I think there's a desire to connect and understand. It's like when I say, you know, I'm sharing, I've been diagnosed with breast cancer, and the reaction is, oh, my aunt had that and she passed away or she beat it or whatever. I think there's just, you're immediately subconsciously looking for that connection piece. Uh-huh. And you're not necessarily thinking on behalf of the other person, well, if I share that she had breast cancer and she died, that's not necessarily helpful. Yeah. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to connect, which seems helpful, you know, and it is helpful, you know, like saying my aunt had breast cancer and that's all, that yeah. is helpful, yeah. you know, because, oh, great, you know what I'm going through. But then we, for whatever reason, we just kind of keep going because we don't know what's helpful and what's not, because yeah. we've never been there. And, you know, we just don't know how to empathize in those situations.
Mm, there you go.
Other That's than good. To just share our experience. And yeah. so I think it's natural to want to connect.
Yeah.
And we just don't know how to encourage
right.
in those situations.
Yep. Yep. Well, I would love for you to get into a little bit of your journey and share some of your story like you did with me. Just so everybody knows, Chris and I talked for a couple hours, a couple weeks ago. I wanted to get to know her before we did this podcast. And like I said, I was just in goosebumps on top of goosebumps as she shared her story with us. And so this is the part where, listen, you know, strap in and close off all the distractions here and take a listen as, you know, I want you to share your story, and then, I've got more questions for you too, but I can't wait for people to hear. Just take us through some of that journey and what you walked through.
Absolutely. Well, and I'll preface by saying, if anyone right now is going through cancer and listening to this podcast, this is a safe story. I am not going to be sharing any details that are scary, or, you know, any stories that make you say, great, didn't need that in my head anymore. Yeah. So this is a
That's
safe,
good, because that is true.
Mm-hmm. So I was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer at 36. And of course, just like anyone with a diagnosis like this, it was, totally out of the blue, just sent us reeling, put us into this season of, you know, tests and scans and second opinions and just kind of mass chaos, hang on for dear life. And when all the factors of the diagnosis were taken into consideration, it was recommended that I get a double mastectomy. And that's a pretty drastic surgery, but the prognosis was good. So that's what we did. I say we, you know, that's what I did. there weren't a whole lot of other people involved.
Yeah.
But so that's what happened. And afterwards, I got the call from my doctor that we didn't want to get, saying that they found out that the cancer had actually spread. Mm. And so we were initially hoping and praying that, hey, this, you know, maybe we could just get this with the surgery and be done with it. And so now this new information, it meant chemo, radiation, more surgeries, you know, we're looking at a very long battle ahead of us. And at the same time, prior to being diagnosed, my husband, Matt, and I were actually dealing with infertility. And we, you know, were praying through that. We had visited a specialist, and we were thinking, you know, we'd be okay with whatever outcome was going to happen, because as you've already mentioned, you know, we're children's pastors. So if we can't have kids of our own, you know, we get tons of spiritual children every weekend.
Yeah,
we
get right.
to fill them up with sugar and send them back home to their parents while we take a nap, you know. But I'm sure that That's you good. Know your children's pastor at your church doesn't do that ever.
So. yeah, I was known to throw out a lot of candy in my day, so I'm guilty.
So that was kind of the situation we were in. We visited a specialist, and he laid out our options, and IVF was an option. And so, you know, it's a lot of overwhelming information when you start that journey. So he said, go home and just think about it and pray about it, and we'll set a follow-up appointment about 3 weeks from today. And whatever you decide, then we'll get started. That's what we'll do. And it was actually in between that first appointment and the follow-up a few weeks later that I received my diagnosis.
Wow.
So you want to talk about God's perfect timing.
Yeah.
So, so now, you know, we're in the middle of this big, scary cancer diagnosis. And in addition to that, kids are clearly off the table now, you know? So we're in the middle of all these appointments and everything, trying to figure everything out. We went ahead and we went to that follow-up appointment with the specialist. And truthfully, I'm not even sure why we did. But, you know, we went and we said, hey, got to catch you up. A lot of new information here. Obviously, this is not going to work out for us. Thank you for your time. And in that moment, the doctor's response to us was to tell us about how his medical training was actually at the Mayo Clinic with young women who were diagnosed with cancer at an early age, who then wanted to do IVF so they could freeze their embryos and start a family.
Wow.
So no, we had no idea that that was his background when we started, but it was obviously not a coincidence.
And, yeah. Yeah.
So fast forward a few weeks after having major surgery of the mastectomy, we went through IVF. And right now there are 8 healthy, cold embryos just waiting for us to be ready to come back to them. So
yes.
I'm an octomom.
That's awesome. Be careful what you say.
I know, right?
Ooh, that is awesome, Chris.
Yeah. So we did all of that, and then that was when I entered into chemotherapy after all of that surgery and IVF and everything, and that was a time when I would say I was probably really struggling with depression, really at a low point. And also my hormones were way out of whack after IVF. And, you know, I was just really struggling in my walk with God because I just felt like, God, we did everything right. You know, we're pastors, we're doing your work.
Yeah.
You could have spared me from all of this and you didn't. And just struggling and wrestling with my faith during that time. And of course, you know, as we mentioned, all the scary stories, scary statistics, scary side effects, all of that kind of coming in. And I sort of began to realize that my assignment in this season was to start bringing some light and some positivity into this arena that I suddenly found myself in. And as I mentioned, I just felt Satan owned this territory called cancer. And that was not going to be what my journey was going to be part of. My journey was going to be, I might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but God is with me and he is walking through it with me, and I will enter this arena with him by my side.
Ooh, yeah.
And so I just felt like I didn't know why I had to go through this terrible battle, but I did know that God could use it for a purpose. So I started to just look for ways to see what it was that he wanted me to do on that day, you know, and that certainly wasn't something that was easy to make myself do, as going through chemo and radiation. But one day there was a woman who walked into the chemo lab while I'm getting my treatment, and chemo treatments take probably about 4 or 5 hours. So as it turns out, that is plenty of time for ministry. So, and really, you don't do anything when you're getting a chemo treatment. You just sit there with your IV and you know, bring a movie or something to watch or whatever. So I saw this woman walk in and I could just tell it was her first time to be there. So I picked up my little IV tower and I rolled it over to hers, and we just started talking, and you know, I shared how scared I was when all this started, and some of the stuff that I was wrestling through, and that I was okay. You know, I was a few treatments in now, and I was okay, and no one told me that I could be okay. And so I want to be the one to tell you that you just might be okay too.
Wow.
And so that kicked off a friendship between us. And we had, you know, treatments the same day, every week, and saw each other and supported each other and encouraged each other. And that also kicked off in me just sort of a momentum to continue to do the things that I felt like God was leading me to do. So, as you mentioned, I was an athlete. I did some triathlon, or I did a triathlon, and a 5K during that time, because it helped me just feel like me again, you know, the me that God intended for me to be, and not just someone defined by this battle.
Yes.
For Halloween, I dressed up as Wonder Woman and handed out candy to all the patients in the lab. And I learned one of my doctors was an atheist.
Wow.
And so that's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
So I did the only thing you can do when God does something like that. I invited him to church, and gosh darn it, he showed up.
Oh, cool. I was just getting ready to say, did he show?
He showed up. And, you know, I wish I could say that, you know, he prayed the prayer of salvation that night and his life was changed. I mean, that didn't happen, but I do know that God is writing a story of healing and restoration.
I was just saying, seeds are planted.
That was a seed that was
planted. That's right. That's right. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be the complete ending, right? You know, absolutely. I mean, sometimes we think, oh, but hey, like you said, God's still writing that story. And who knows how it's going to end yet. You know, that's one of those to be continued, but at least the seed's been planted. You get to continue to water it and as you walk your journey. Wow. Okay. This is so good.
So, I mean, really that was chemotherapy. I did radiation after that. I had a few more surgeries, and you know, about 4 weeks after I finished treatments, I went ahead and did another triathlon just so I could really shove it into cancer.
That's right.
But, you know, that kind of brings us to today. I've got a new schedule of treatments to make sure that cancer stays away. And I'll always take more prayers about that. But
yes.
I can say that I'm on the other side of that terrible season, and it was the most difficult battle that I ever faced. But today I am cancer free and celebrating that.
And what I love about your story is the fact that you described a lot of language that I'm loving. I'm actually working on a book with a guy that you know is doing the editing for right now, and it's about those valley seasons. Mm-hmm. And so many times we're adverse to suffering. We as Christians want to fix things. We want to make it right. We don't want suffering. We don't want our kids to suffer. We don't want our loved ones to suffer. We want to avoid the suffering. And yet, again, just like you quoted, you know, the 23rd Psalm, Jesus, you know, or David wrote that, but, you know, God gave him those words to say, look, you are going to walk those valleys of the shadow and you have nothing to fear. Why? Because God is with us. And so he never says you're not going to walk through that, but he does say, I will always be there right with you in the valley. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people, and the title of my book is Why Valleys Are Better Than Mountaintops Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because, well, not sometimes, but Why Valleys Are Better Than Mountaintops. Mm-hmm. Because I truly believe in those valley seasons, we see God do things, and he gives us things that we would never see standing up on the mountaintop. Yeah. You know, there's so much down there that is beautiful. And God gave you this amazing lesson from scripture, and you blew me out of the water. I mean, I went back and dug out my commentaries about the book of Joshua, because I was just totally blown away with this next part. And so I can't wait for you to share this, because this is so good. But God gave you Joshua 3 to look at. Mm-hmm. And you saw some things in there. And as many times as I've taught this Bible lesson to kids, I never paid attention to this one detail. And I think right there is a big lesson to be learned, that sometimes we miss the little things that God is doing because we're so caught up with the big action. And so tell us about this Joshua 3 passage and why it means so much to you.
So there's a phrase that people say, and it goes, I wouldn't have chosen it, but I would not have changed it.
Yes.
And because they can look back and see, you know, all the lessons that God brought. And if I'm being totally honest, I can't say that about cancer, because if even knowing all the things that God was going to do and all the wonderful things, if you had asked me at the beginning again, hey, do you want to go through all this? No, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. No, I am not choosing cancer. Even when I know all the great things that can happen. But if I'm also being honest, there was a closeness and a richness of relationship with the Lord during that time that I miss now. Mm. And I long for now. I certainly don't long for the circumstances, but right. I miss that. And there is so much richness that can happen during that time that is priceless. Amen. That it is priceless, and it is worth going through things like cancer. So one of the things that came out of that time is this passage of scripture. And as you said, it's in the book of Joshua chapter 3 and verse 14 through 17. And this is, you know, the Israelites have been spending the last 40 years wandering in the desert. Moses has died. Joshua is going to, you know, bring on that mantle of leadership. And he's about to lead this new generation into the promised land. And the only thing that's standing between them and the promised land is the Jordan River. They're going to have to cross it. And as soon as they do, the first city that they're going to encounter is the city of Jericho. So Joshua is a smart guy. He sends a couple spies over to check everything out at Jericho. They report back. And so now they are ready to enter the promised land. So that's what's happening. Joshua 3 verses 14 through 17. It says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So this is not one of those scriptures that's hard to follow, right? We can imagine this playing out in our mind. And just like you, I've read this passage so many times, and I never paid attention to what it said right there in verse 16, the water piled up a great distance away in a town called Adam. And so Adam is about 20 miles north upstream. And if I just take a minute and think about not what the Israelites were doing during this moment, but what were the citizens of Adam doing?
Right.
And so this isn't detailed in scripture. You know, we have to take what we know in context and use our imagination. But if we just play this out, let's think about this. The citizens of Adam suddenly saw the waters of the Jordan River piling up with no explanation. It's already at flood stage, and now it's getting bigger.
Yes.
That seems sketchy to me. let's think about their way of life. They probably would have planted their crops close to the river, right? Because that was the water source. So now maybe their crops are being ruined. It said it's harvest season. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. What about... You know, how bad did this really get? Did it start to threaten their livestock? Did it start to threaten their homes? Did they start crying out, God, will you please save us from this unexplainable flood?
Yeah.
And so some scholars actually theorize that the way that God made all of this happen is he created an earthquake. And so that earthquake made the sides of the Jordan River fall in on itself, create a blockage, and that's what backed up the water. Okay, so now there's a biblical flood and an earthquake in the city of Adam. Like, this is a terrible day.
Yeah.
And so the truth is, as serious as the situation was, in hindsight, we can see that this was a temporary crisis. It only took a day or two for the Israelites to cross. And in fact, if you were to keep reading in Joshua 4:18, it says, no sooner had the Israelites set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. So this was a temporary crisis, but the people of Adam didn't know that.
Right.
They didn't know how long this was going to last or how bad this was going to get. They couldn't see what was happening 20 miles or so downstream. They couldn't see the miracle that God was doing. All they could see was their temporary crisis.
Wow. Yep.
So what if God is allowing a temporary crisis in your life so he can do a miracle just a little ways downstream?
Ooh.
There is purpose to your pain. There is purpose. Amen. And it matters whether you're focusing on the temporary crisis or whether you're focusing on what God is doing. And I mentioned it already, Genesis 50:20 says that what Satan intends for evil, God intends for good. And Satan intended evil for my life. He intended sickness and cancer and depression and frankly, death. But God intended life with the perfect timing of IVF. He intended hope to those other patients that came across my path. And he intends salvation for the doctor that came and visited my church. And none of that would have happened without a temporary crisis in my life.
Wow. See, I got goosebumps on my goosebumps again. Excuse me. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to tell you, I want you to kind of pull all this together as we get ready to wrap up with this whole thing of there's a lot of leaders, there's a lot of people out there struggling with a lot of things.
Yeah.
When we face the pain of this life, what can our perspective be? I mean, you said it pretty powerfully a minute ago, but would you just kind of reiterate that and kind of wrap this conversation up for us?
Definitely. So I think what's important to keep in mind, you know, when you're in the middle of the crisis, it's pretty hard not to focus on that crisis, right?
Yeah.
It's great to know that it's happening. We believe the miracle is coming. So when it comes to what can you do to keep your eyes off the crisis and put them on the purpose, I think about perspective. And that battle of positivity, it matters. And our brains actually have something called a negativity bias. And that means that our brains are actually wired to focus on the negative instead of the positive. And it's a good thing. It's actually a survival mechanism. You know, our brain wants us to recognize the danger quickly, but we don't really have to survive predators anymore. You know, it is 2020. Maybe we shouldn't totally roll out the zombie apocalypse yet, but, you know, our brains just naturally go to this place.
Yeah.
And from my story, you know, I think about chemo and, I think about where does your brain naturally go? Well, you probably immediately think of something negative when you think of chemo. And when we're in the middle of a crisis, what we have to do is we have to identify when that negativity bias thing is happening and actively adjust it to something else. I mean, that's what Corinthians 10 says when it says take captive every thought, right? So when you think of chemo, like you probably think of, well, it's the poison. It's the bad guy. It's the thing that's making me sick, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm trying to manage my crisis that's kind of a negative thing to deal with when I have to go and get a chemo treatment every week for 6 months. And so if I take a step back and I recognize the truth is that chemo is not the bad guy here. Chemo is actually the thing that is helping me to kick cancer's butt. Like, yes. Chemo is on my side. Cancer is the enemy. And so, but I had to identify that my brain was doing that negativity bias thing and then actively fight to adjust that perspective for something more truthful. And so when you think about the things, you know, everyday life, you know, we're not always dealing with something as serious as cancer, but if you've got a running playlist of all the things that annoy you about your spouse every day, if you wake up every morning and think about all the parts of your job that you really don't want to do that day, or even your health, it doesn't have to be cancer, but do you have that broken record of negative thoughts when it comes to your body image,
right,
or your habits? Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And if you have that running narrative every day of all the things that annoy you about your spouse, well, that could lead you down a path towards divorce that you didn't ever want for your life. And when you really just change the way you think, that could lead you to a totally different outcome. And so,
so good.
When it comes to this battle of positivity, you know, this battle of keeping the right perspective, I do think it's important to keep in mind the reality of that, because it's all very neat and tidy on paper. Oh, just be positive. You know, it's going to be great. And we'll be happy and peppy and bursting with joy 24/7, glitter on everything. Like, that's just, that's fake. That's not, you know, nobody is helped by fake positivity.
That's right.
You can't, and you can't shove your emotions away and pretend like they don't exist, because that's denial. It's a different river in Egypt. nobody's helped by that. But when it comes to your perspective, I think it's important that we realize that you can hope and you can hurt at the same time.
Wow.
You can be honest about your feelings. You can allow the hard emotions. You can process through the tough stuff. You should, but you can still remain hopeful. And that's the difference. When people share stories, when people, you know, get down into the negativity spin cycle, it sucks you down. That's the difference. Christine Kane said, hope is the unshakable confidence in God. It does not deny the reality of our pain, but it does give us a life beyond our pain.
Wow.
And so I keep that in mind of, when you're fighting for that positive perspective, it's not fake, it's not denial, it allows that reality, but there's hope, and there's hope in Christ. And
amen.
I think when you're battling stuff, the only reason that I was able to make it through my journey is because Jesus led me through it. In fact, in Joshua 3, right before they cross the river, he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, move out from your positions and follow it, because then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before.
Yes.
And I had never been that way before. The things that we face, we'd never been that way before. And when you put the Ark first, when you put Jesus first, when you follow him, he will lead you through the way you've never been before. He will take your pain, he will take your temporary crisis, and he will use it to make a miracle just a few miles downstream.
Yes. Wow. That was so good. And I think it so fits where we are in our world today in, in 2020, that we're so focused on the virus and the political situations, that what's God doing downstream? You know, stop and ask yourself that moment, you know, when you start to see the waves, when you start to see the water building up, what's God doing? And perspective, well, those are powerful truths. And I know that has challenged some people. It's challenged me again, for the second time around, to hear these words, and they're words that I need because I'm going on a path that I've never gone before, and I'm having to watch for those things. Chris, one of the things that we want to do is we want people to hear more of your story and our opportunity. And you are now starting to do more speaking and going out and sharing with groups, with churches. And so if people want to hear more of this, or they want to share this story with more people, we are going to link a PDF that has kind of your bio and information there, but how can people get a hold of you and continue to follow your journey?
Absolutely. So you can check out my website, chrisgorman.com. You can follow me on the Instagram at Chris Gorman. Facebook is at Official Chris Gorman. And Chris is spelled really funny. It's C-R-Y-S. So you probably would not have gotten there on your own. But yeah, chrisgorman.com has all the things. And now that I'm healthy and ready to go out and be in the world again, then I'm speaking at churches and women's groups and cancer groups and just anything, anything where you've got an audience that is seeking purpose and seeking that encouragement and that perspective. I'm all about helping them do it.
That is awesome. So, hey, folks, take advantage of that and go check it out and invite Chris to come and speak. Your church, your community would be very encouraged by her story. And let's see her get booked up all over the place, because this is a message that our country or our people around us need to hear. And I have no doubt about that. And so that's why I was like, I got to get Chris on the podcast. And I'm so thankful we've connected. And I'm looking forward to some of the partnerships we're going to be able to do in the future for sure. And I'm going to looking forward to having you back. I can't wait to hear more of what One Hope is doing with the app for kids. I just can't wait to share that with people, because a lot of people haven't seen all that and they need to get a hold of that as well. So thanks so much for taking time out of your day.
Thank you. This was such a pleasure and so much fun, and I can't wait to be back.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that for sure. So, hey, thanks again for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We appreciate you listening with us. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we hope that you'll do that. Leave us a review, but share this podcast out. We are so grateful to every one of our listeners, and we would love to hear feedback. If you're not part of the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group, we encourage you to come join us over there and join our community, where you can get connected and keep sharpening each other together so that we can lead more to reach more, because that's our goal. So God bless you. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to the KMC.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page, or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.